Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Tuning in. I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. We have been looking at the principles of the foundation that should be established, right, in us. And so we've been looking at repentance, and we're going to continue to talk about that a little bit today, but I'm taking a different turn on it, and we're going to really bring out this in remember the four elements of repentance. We're going to talk about that, and I'll show you that. So I'm excited. So we're going to look at the vision, and then we're going to look at our foundational scripture, and we're going to get started here. Let's look at the vision here. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So in other words, he's saying not laying again. So this should be in the foundation, in your spiritual foundation. You should have that in you, the idea of repentance, and this is something I practice on a regular basis towards God. My repentance is faith towards God. My repentance is always going to take me towards God. What's repentance mean? Remember? It's the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. So that should be something that we automatically do when we see where we mess up or we sinned. We should be ready to repent and change the way we think. That's what metanoia means. Change your mind. Change the way you're thinking. So if we don't do metanoia, we end up doing paranoia. Para means you're pairing up with thoughts that aren't from God. And that will cause fear and doubt and unbelief to come into your heart. Did you catch me? Did you catch what I just said? And so that's why we want our repentance to always be towards God. Towards God. You see that? And that's huge. Because when you choose God, when you repent and change your mind towards God, that's the superior. That's the high life God designed you for. But if you don't, and you end up changing you turn towards the inferior, that's the low. That's the lower level. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you with fear and unbelief. And so this is why we have to understand this idea of repentance and it being in our foundation. We got the four elements. Let's start here. Christina, go with me to Psalms 32:5 real quick. Now, the four elements are right in this verse. David understood the New Testament understanding of repentance even before Jesus came. So now look at this. He said, I acknowledged my sin to you. So we have to acknowledge our sin. Then he says, and my iniquity I have not hidden. You want to be honest with God, right? That's the second principle. And then he said, I will confess my transgressions, my sin to the Lord. That's the third confession. And then, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So the forgiveness is the fourth element. So acknowledge, honesty, confession, and forgiveness. Those are the four elements of true repentance. And so David understood repentance. That's why God always said he was a man after God's own heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. Thank you for everyone that is here today, Lord. Lord, we ask that you prepare our hearts today to receive your word. You said that we can receive your word with meekness, the word of God, which is able to save our very souls. Father, open our hearts up to receive your word today. Make our hearts good ground in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. So here's what I'm doing. I'm talking about sin, but I want us to understand where we came from and this word redemption. So everybody say redemption. Because a lot of people don't understand that. And when we, and I'm not saying you're ignorant, I'm just saying when we don't understand those things, it can get us in a quagmire. It talks about, remember wisdom. We all need God's wisdom, right? We talked about that last week. Anger and different things that come on us. So remember in Proverbs 2:10, he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. So that's why this repentance idea is so important. We get understanding and it delivers us from going the evil way. And if you see, you can get saved and be a born again Christian, but if you don't understand repentance and confession, you can end up going the evil way and live a very, very miserable life. And I've seen it over and over in marriages and families and people and all kinds of different situations. So this is important to understand. So that's why I'm bringing this up. And this is why, I'm a pastor and I want the people that God has entrusted me with to understand. And when you understand it, it brings freedom. It literally does. And all you're getting, get understanding. That's in Proverbs 4:7. Now let's look at this. So everybody say redemption. So I want to talk about redemption because it deals with sin and where we were before we became a Christian. So I'm going to bring some theology and some understanding to where we were before, because sometimes we don't think about that. But when we think about that, we're going to think, "Man, I don't want to be a part of that anymore." And so then you're going to be more conscientious to truly repent and say, I want to keep this connection with God. You see that? Because on this side, on earth, if you're born again Christian, all your sins, past, present, future, have been washed away. Amen. But now look, you can still sin, and now you have to reap the ramifications. They're consequential still, but God sees you as being righteous. Did you hear me? But when you sin on your own, now you're paying the price, and it causes misery and destruction in your life. But when you repent of it, you can avoid a lot of that and understand. Make sense? All right. So the word redemption is the Greek word. There's several Greek words, and we're going to cover them in the next few weeks, so you don't want to miss this because it really brings light to some areas of our life. The Greek word is agoridzo, agorzo. Now, this is the word for redemption. And this word of redemption, listen to me, it means marketplace. Marketplace. Now, it's specifically describing the slave market. The slave market. Did you hear me? So that's what this word redemption is in reference to. So now listen, the slave market was a dreadful place and deplorable. It was a place that should have never existed, ever. Human beings were paraded in front of potential buyers, and when they were placed on the trading block, they would place them on a trading block, slaves. All right? And then they would auction them off. They would auction these slaves off. They were auctioned off like animals, old furniture, and unwanted junk. I told Jenna, we got an auctioneer in the house. Derek's an auctioneer, but he's not one of those kind of auctioneers. He deals with junk and more junk. Not people, right? He's a reconciler of people. All right, so now listen. But this was going on before Christ, before Jesus. This is the way they did it. This is theology. Now watch. The slave value was determined primarily by the condition of their teeth. Of their teeth. If they had good teeth, they were probably in good shape. And therefore, more expensive. If they had rotten teeth, they probably could be bought at a cheaper price. Before buying and selling began, potential buyers were allowed to check out the merchandise, the people. The slaves' heads were shoved back and their mouths were forced open so they could inspect their teeth to see if they were rotten or if they were in good condition. They were also encouraged to kick or hit the merchandise. Kick it, kick the people, or hit the people. That was determined their fitness, how their fitness was. And to discover the slave's temperament, they would slap them, curse at them, and spit on them. This was a test so they could determine how much abuse they were able to stand before trying to retaliate and how much trouble they could endure so they wouldn't give the new buyer trouble. Their only purpose in the world was to serve the demands that the current owner required of them. The current owner required of them. Now, paradise, God created paradise, Eden, remember? When Adam sinned, paradise became the slave market. You paying attention? The slave market. The paradise that God had originally created and had become a global slave market where Satan had gripped the hearts of men and filled their nature with violence and destruction. Well, that's easy to see when you look at the news and see all that's going on in our world. After Adam, spiritual death drove people of all nations, tribes, and ethnic groups deeper and deeper into the slavery of sin and total depravity. The world that Jesus Christ was born into, that we celebrate Christmas 2,000 years ago, was a world of complete captivity. Complete captivity. Through Adam's disobedience, spiritual death seized the nature of all mankind. Are you following me? This is good stuff. This is why we need to understand. Now look, give me Romans 5:12, if you would, Christina. Look what it says. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, talking about Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Death means separation from God. In other words, because of that sin, we all were separated from God. Now watch. Death through sin, and thus death spread to some men. How many men? I'm seeing if you're paying attention. All men. That includes you, and that includes me. So, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I wasn't raised like that. I was raised in a Christian home. And I never really got into all that. And they think they're a little bit, it stinks. When you think you're better, I'm going to tell you something. You understand what I'm saying? If you think you're better than anybody, that is nothing but pride, and those thoughts aren't from God. Am I making sense? That's just how it is. You think you're better. Now watch. And through and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, when Jesus Christ first came into the earth, he came into a disgusting spiritual slave market where entire lives on the earth lived as slaves to Satan and to the negative effects of sin. This is why Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8, he said, you're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why I taught my children that the truth always wins. If they told me the truth, I don't care what they did, I would reward them. I learned that from James Dobson on Focus on the Family. Because see, if you can break the back on a lie, you can really move forward in the things of God. Now watch. He says, for he is a liar and the father of it. But Jesus said, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You see? They couldn't hear because they weren't born again. They weren't of God. And they didn't want to listen to God because he was standing right in front of them. Did you hear me? They were under that bondage of slavery to sin. John chapter 8. Now, that's not on our board, but that's in my heart, and that's there for you. Now, watch. Give me Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, Paul's saying. Sold under sin. This word sold is the Greek word P-I-P-R-A-S-K-O, and it's in reference to property. To property, the transfer of property. In other words, people were property, and they sold them to other people. That's of the devil right there. Paul clearly says that mankind had been transferred from the hands of God into the hands of a new owner, the devil. Am I making sense? Remember, what's hands represent? Your will. Your will. What did Jesus say? If your right hand sins, cut it off. He doesn't mean cut it off. He says, whatever, if it's keeping you from a relationship with me and a connection, healthy connection with me, deal with it. You see that? That's why that pornography and all that stuff, you guys, is evil. It's ugly. Just cut it off. Better watch where your hands go. Now watch. This is a picture of Satan's total ownership of us before Jesus Christ came into our lives. Now watch. Like slaves in the slave market, we were helpless before the devil as he pushed us around and slapped us and kicked us down, abusing us in every way he possibly could. Our slave owner tried to damage our self-image and our bodies in various kinds of sin and device and vices that marred us emotionally. Our emotions were all wonky. And we were in bondage because of this being a slave to sin. Total depravity. Give me Romans 6:17, if you would, Christina. But God, be thankful that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. That from that form of what? Doctrine. That's why doctrine is important. People always say, well, what are you so concerned about doctrine? You better be concerned about doctrine. Doctrine is Bible teaching, but not that, you know, doctrine can be teaching of something else. But here he's talking about teaching from the Bible. Am I making sense? To which you were delivered. That word delivered means rescued. Set free from the bondages of the slave to being sin. See, we got to understand these things. Now, give me verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now think about that. When you're slaves of sin, you don't have to be righteous. Right? You're not even considering it. Righteousness means in right standing with God. Because you're not a child of God. You're not concerned about being in a relationship with God. You're just going to do willy-nilly what you want to do. Making sense? This word servant is the word D-O-U-L-O-S. In verse 17, it describes one whose will is completely swallowed up in the will of another. In the will of another. And that's what happens. We were completely swallowed up in the will of another. The devil, doing his will. Now, this means prior to your salvation experience, we were swallowed up. We literally thought we were calling the shots. But in reality, we were slaves to sin. And our destinies were being orchestrated by an unseen diabolical spirit that wanted to destroy us. That's why marriages are falling apart. That's why so many heinous crimes in this world. People who are lost, they just act out what they think and see. And you see what I mean? Just craziness. Our prior slavery to sin was so deep-seated that our nature was one of rebellion against God. Our human disposition, the gulf between us and God, was great. Give me Colossians 1:21. And you, who's you? You and me, who once were alienated. Alienated means you're different. You're a whole nother, you're like a Martian. You're not who God designed you to be. Did you hear that? Alienated and enemies where? In your mind by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled. If you're born again. When you're born again, you've been reconciled. And you've literally been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means to bring others back into, help bring others back into a relationship with God. Now watch. Our prior slavery to sin held us in captivity and bondage. Now give me Ephesians 2:2. We were enemies with God in our mind, our thoughts. I remember the guy that used to try to share the gospel with me. I called him a Looney Tune. I'd run from him when I saw him coming. And one day he caught me in a different spot and gave me a Bible. And I became a Looney Tune. I became Cocoa for Cuckoo Puffs. Cocoa Puffs. For Jesus. Are you with me? Man, they thought I had a nervous breakdown or something. Because I was excited. I was set free. Now watch. Let's look at this. Get back to the thing here. Ephesians 2:2. Now watch. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, that's us, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul is telling us before we met the Lord, we were influenced by the course of this world. This word according is the word kata, K-A-T-A. It means we were completely dominated, manipulated, and controlled by it. Completely dominated, manipulated, and controlled by the course of this world. Now listen, according, that's what he says, according. The word course is the Greek word aiona. It means a period of time, such as age, a specific era, or generation. So this word denotes the influence of one particular short-lived period of time. And that could be your entire life. Some people, they spend their whole life according to the course of this world. You hearing me? Now listen. So this is an example of what Paul is saying here, according to the course of this world. In the 1920s was the Roaring Twenties. Anybody ever heard of that? Now, that would be the course. In the 50s, it was rock and roll. That was the course. Remember when Elvis came out? I remember watching TV. We finally got a TV, black and white, big old honking thing. And Elvis was on there. And man, my dad was watching him, and you know, he liked him, you know, sing those love songs. But he'd get that leg going. I remember I was a little kid, and I'd act like him. My dad would crack up. It made him happy. And so I started acting like Elvis. See, that's what happens. It's influencing me. It had influence on me. And even my dad. Are you listening to me? And my sisters, they thought I should have had a talent show. Because I had some more. She'll throw them at you later. But influence. So the 50s were rock and roll and a rebellious time. In the 60s and 70s, it was drugs and war, alcohol, weed. But now look, the course of this world, it will dominate you and your thinking, and it will go through a whole generation if you don't come to Christ. Now watch. Paul was saying that when we were still lost without God in this world, we had no eternal perspective and no biblical standard to live by. That's why the prophet Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That word standard means banner. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he'll raise up a truth when the enemy comes in to try to lie to you or for you to go a wrong direction. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. If you listen to him, you're going to be protected. But if you don't listen, you'll get involved in something that can destroy your life.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.